Hey, everybody, welcome to Fatso Radio, episode number 95.
Wow.
95. My pleasure to come to you every week, every Friday night, folks. And thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for your listens and your views and your likes, your subscriptions and your emails and all that stuff. Thank you so much. First of all, thank you to Volpe Martial Arts. New fancy hat here, Volpe Martial Arts, KW's newest, hottest Kung Fu and Hapkido Martial Arts School. Check them out, VolpeMartialArts.com. My brother, Sifu Adam Volpe, comes to you. He's amazing. A lifelong passion, love for martial arts comes to you. He's in Kitchener. Check him out. All right, folks, I come to you today. I'm talking to you about getting back on track and getting back to getting back on track, however you want to call that. And also, I want to talk about my why. Why do I do it? Why do I do this ketogenic diet? Why do I do the things that I do? What are my reasons? I love you all. Lily, take it away.
Fatso, the really great podcast show.
Fatso, the very first podcast show. Hey, everybody, welcome to Fatso Radio. How you doing? Episode number 95. Wow, welcome back. If it's your first time, welcome. If it's not your first time, welcome back. All five listeners can't be wrong, right? I guess all five viewers. Anyway, let's get back to business. My name is Carlo Volpe. It's my pleasure to come to you every single Friday night. Fatso Radio. What is it? It's a place where we're not afraid about fat. We're not afraid to talk about fat. We're not afraid to eat fat, dietary fat, animal fat. We're not afraid to do it because we realize that ketosis in the ketogenic way, and even a carnivore way, is helping a lot of people. We're not only talking about that. We talk about everything on this podcast. Anything you want to talk about, anything that's like the idea of realizing fat is not our enemy. I like doing that. I like thinking outside the box, and I like just investigating and trying things that work, right? Things that work for me, things that work for you. I want to hear about it. And thank you, everybody, for all of your feedback and all your likes and everything. Keep on sending it in, fatsoradio@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and don't forget to share. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is just me. We have just a handful of subscribers right now, but I really appreciate everybody who subscribes. And don't forget to select the notification, wherever it is, up or down. And that'll notify you when I do have a new video, which is every single Friday. Sometimes it comes out Friday night late or Saturday morning, but nonetheless, let's get to it. This episode, folks, episode number 95. We're getting up there. And what I want to do this episode is get back to basics, right? So not only back to basics, but I want to get back to getting back on track. It's something that it's kind of a funny way to say that, but I want to get back to getting back on track, because getting back on track, whether it's a diet or whether it's a workout routine or whether it's just a healthy lifestyle or a healthy idea or a healthy mission that you have in your life, getting back on track is, in my opinion, essentially the whole game, right? In my opinion, and others I'm sure as well, but the better you become at getting back on track, right, paired with the better you become of falling off your track less often, right? So when you do fall off, you want to get back on track fast and get back on without damage or without taking you 2 weeks to get back on track. And not only that, when you do get off track, you want it to not cause that much damage. So you want to get off track less often, right? And when you do get off track, you want it to be less damaging, you know, cheat or whatever you want to call it. And provided, folks, again, this is the idea that if you're following a ketogenic diet or if you're following a diet or a lifestyle that has removed certain foods, whether you're doing an elimination diet or whether you've found certain foods that really tweak you or really hurt you, right? I know that breads and pastas, for the most part, breads and pastas and grains and things with gluten don't agree with me. I can eat certain ones with exception. My sister makes amazing bread. I can eat that. Something about slow rising, something about a very, very little yeast. It's a combination of both of those things. But for the most part, if I eat a lot of breads and cereals and things like that, I feel it. My body, the same with sugar, same with certain dairies, I feel it, right? So getting back on track is what? Getting back to your plan, whatever that plan is. We're talking about diet, we're talking about food, and I'm going to talk about that today, right? So before I get into how to get back on track, which I'm going to talk about, I want to talk about the reasons I just noticed that I feel a little pom-pom on the top of this, and I want to talk about that. Folks, this is a new winter hat that I got from Volpe Martial Arts. You can see there our logo on it. Check them out. And good time to remind everybody of our sponsor, Volpe Martial Arts. Sponsor every time, every episode. My brother, Sifu Adam, check them out, VolpeMartialArts.com. Okay, back to this. Why do we fall off track? It's, I mean, the existential reason, maybe the spiritual reason why we fall off track, is it's complicated, right? We don't know the reason, but we fall off track for many reasons, and we fall off track practically for many reasons, right? Social pressures, gatherings, dinners, parties. We don't have that as much as often these days because of the whole COVID thing, because of the whole lockdown thing, social distancing. We're keeping ourselves, you know, distance. So we don't have that much pressure these days. So that's maybe a good thing. One of the good things with 2020, I guess, that you do have time to get to focus. You do have some isolation time. You do have some time to kind of get your ducks in a row, you know, as we were to say. So again, how do we fall off track, or why do we fall off track, rather? Many, many ways. Let's talk about it. Social pressures. We've talked about that already. But family, right? Family is probably the biggest thing, good or bad. They're there to help you. They're there to support you. But oftentimes, they quite honestly, makes it more difficult, right? So what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is whether you're the parent, or whether you're the brother or sister, or whether you're the child, if you don't, unless you live alone, right, there are other people that you live with and you eat with, and you either eat for, or you shop for, or you cook for. So it really can be difficult, right? I understand. I totally get it. So that's just one of the reasons why, or how, rather. Time is another thing. A lot of times people feel like we don't have time to plan ahead and do those meals, whether it's meal prep ahead of time, or even just kind of have some ideas written down of what you want to do when it comes time to cook your meal. Meal prep sometimes is simple for some people. Sometimes it's difficult for other people. For me, I like to say, put it in a crock pot, do something like that, slow cooking, something you can forget about, right? That way it takes your mind off of that, do something else. Also, sometimes just people don't have the energy. You're busy at work, you're busy with the kids, whatever it is. And then also sometimes people just feel like they're not creative enough, or they don't have the creativity. I truly believe that people have the creativity if they think about it long enough, but you have to want to be creative sometimes in order to be creative. So I get that, right? So those are all reasons that are completely valid. And those are, I think, the most common reasons of how we fall off. It's just everyday life, right? And the other thing that I kind of just thought of at the last minute here is that if our default pattern, right, if our regular actions, of course of actions of every day, day in, day out, Monday to Friday, whatever it is, even of our weekends, if that has gotten to us to a certain state, then it's natural to think that it's going to be hard to get us out of that, right? If we're creatures of habits, which we are, I know I'm a big time creature of habit. Once I get into a routine, a good routine as well, right? That's great. But once you fall off of that routine, it's so important to get back on that routine, because it's easy to create bad routines. That's the key. And that's one of the reasons why I always think it's so important to not only get back on that horse, but get good at getting back on that horse. Really? That's a skill. That's a skill, because the better you get at it, the less you'll need that skill, but the more you'll need it. But the more valuable that skill will be, if that makes sense, right? It's like, I don't want to suggest that becoming a dieter or becoming good at dieting is something you should be good at, but becoming good at controlling your diet, yeah, that's something to strive for. I strive for that as well, right? And it's funny, the food you choose to eat or not to eat will directly help you in not only help your body, but help you maintaining that balance, or that maintaining that diet that is healthy for you. Okay, so that's how we fall off track. It's many, many reasons why we fall off track. It's so important to get back on track. And I want to talk about that again, right? So how do we get back on track? We get back on track for the same reason, or in the same ways that helped us along, right? Even though life happens. So I guess what I want to say is that just because you've fallen off track, just because you've had a slip up, you know, you went out and you ate some dessert that didn't agree with you, or you just didn't, even if it didn't agree with you, but it wasn't good for your overall goal. It didn't help you. It maybe made you feel like you were two steps back. That's okay. That's life, right? That's life. We have to remember that it is life, and it's not more important to stress ourselves out, right? But it happens. It happens. And just as easy as it happens, you can get back on track, right? So remember that. If you remember that, give yourself a break, but also with that, you know, that love and that acceptance and that support that you had to use and that patience you had to use yourself, also use that to now fuel yourself to get back on and be strong and give yourself a little bit more for next time, right? Not next time, but for this attempt, rather. And how do we get back on track again? It goes down back to the basics. Plan ahead. And that means everything. Plan about the future. Plan for the next couple of weeks. Plan for the next couple of months. I like to have a goal in my mind. I like to have many, many goals. One of the things that I'm going to do this month differently, well, not this month differently, but this week again, I guess, is that kind of go back to one of the old routines that I have, or an old kind of, yeah, it's just a routine, I guess. And it's a really a, a regular habit that I did was, which was kind of giving myself a daily task or a daily challenge or a monthly challenge rather, and then break it up into daily routines, but give myself something to really strive for. You know, I have in my mind now that I have a grading, a martial arts grading next year. I'm not exactly sure when it's going to be, maybe April, maybe May, but it's a big grading for me. It's my Kung Fu grading, right? Kung Fu Hapkido, our martial arts style, Volpe martial arts. I have my orange sash currently, and I'll be grading for my green sash, if I can say that. It's a big deal for me. It's huge. I love the color green. It's kind of like that intermediate, you know, advanced almost a little bit stage of the ranking system. You know, you start going red and you go to your yellow, you're orange, you go to green. Starting to assist in more classes, you help him with the warm-ups, things like that. My brother, of course, Sifu Adam is, you know, I love him and he's helping me, but it's challenging, right? So that's something I have in my mind now. And I was talking to my niece Sienna about it, and she's going to be grading for her next sash. We're probably going to do it around the same time. But it's something that I have kind of big, right, in my mind. And to get there, so that's my big goal. But to get there, I have many smaller goals, and they're going to be month by month, right? Sometimes week by week, but I'm going to try and break it up month by month, just personally for me. But whatever works for you, right? If you have a goal or this, be creative with your goals. It doesn't have to be like I do sometimes, where it's just this month I want to try to do pushups every morning, whether it's 20 pushups or a number, or whether it's just next month I want to do crunches or whatever it is. You can be even creative and say this Monday to Friday for the next month, Monday to Friday, I want to do this. Or for the next month, Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to do this. Or 4 days a week, I'm going to do this. Whatever it is, have a goal, have a challenge, have something to strive for. Literally, we need to strive for things, right? And that'll keep us on track, because you have a goal, and what's going to help your goal? Right, what's going to help your goal is eating right, and being in a state of as good health as you can be in, right? This is all an attempt. Again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not giving you medical advice, but it's just an attempt to do the best things that we can do. You can see here, I'm in the Fatso Platzo studios here, so I got my jacket on, but it really is just an attempt, folks, to say, let's be the healthiest that we can do. Let's try and get back on track, right? If we have weight to lose, so if your goal is to have weight loss, getting back on track, plan ahead, right? So how do you plan ahead? Plan ahead through your food, right? Buy the food that you need to have for that week that's going to keep you on plan for your diet. Plan ahead for your exercise. If you're going to have, like I said, that goal in your mind where you want to do a certain amount of exercise routine, whether it's something simple like I want to walk 10 minutes a day, do that. Do it, write it down, put it down on your pegboard, on your fridge, on your dry erase board, whatever you use, put it down, write it down there and make it visual and look at it, right? Look at it and remind yourself what you're going to do and how you're going to do that. And then that's a part of getting back on track, because when you do that exercise and you do that stuff, that's adding to, right? You're complementing your healthy eating. And then that helps you. That helps you in the big picture, because they both work together, right? And this is a perfect example when I'm off track. I've been off track for, I want to say a couple of weeks, more than a couple of weeks, right? And what happened? I've been retaining a lot of water. I've been retaining a lot of just fluids, right? And the scale is 10, 20 pounds heavier now. I'm not worried about it. But so physically, I know on one hand, I'm not worried about it. Or sorry, mentally, I know that I'm not worried about it, because I know I can physically get to that stage again. But I am worried about it a little bit, because I'm thinking, hey, why did I get there again? What happens, right? So I know why it happens for me, and it's an easy solution. I'm not beating myself up forever, but it's not an easy solution, but it's kind of an easy explanation. But the solution is the same for me. Try again, stay back on track. It's not a matter of, for me, I'm starting to realize it's not a matter of solving it. It's not a matter of just figuring it out and that's it, right? This is what works. You do it forever and you never fall off again. No, this is your formula. This is what works. I'm going to need to go back to my formula all the time. This is my game plan. This is my playbook, right? Your playbook is only going to work when you use it. If you don't use it, you can still have a successful play. You can still score perhaps, but if you don't, then you have nothing to fall back on. If you don't have a plan, then you can't, it's hard to analyze what went wrong. But if you are using a plan and your plan's not working, then you can tweak it. I guess that's the best explanation I can give for why it's good to have a playbook, why it's good to have a plan. Even if you just write out your dietary plan, what's your idea? What are you trying to do? A lot of people follow diet plans or workout plans even, and they're not really sure what they're trying to do, right? And I'm not trying to get nitty gritty into the fine details, because whether you're in exercise science or whether you're in nutrition or whatever it is, you don't need to know exactly what's happening at the microscopic level, but you need to know overall, what are you doing? What's your goal, right? What are you trying to get to 2, 3, 4 months down the road? So one of the other things that kind of helps me get back on track. And I hope it probably will help you get back on track if you need help. As far as motivation, as far as kind of an inspiration, is to think of the why, right? You know, I said earlier about many people do this for weight loss, or many people do this for just in general health or whatever, but the why really is important, right? And I guess the biggest reason is because the why usually doesn't change. The why may change and it may evolve. And if you're trying to get to a goal and you're getting closer to that goal, yes, the why is changing, but it's still for that goal. But I guess what I'm trying to get to is that the why is very important. And I like to use the why. I mean, I'm not even trying to say that I like to use the why, but the why, the many whys, not just one reason, right? But the whys are, those are the burning things that are burning inside me. The things that if I can't sleep by night, which I sleep well, thankfully I sleep well. But if I can't sleep by night and if something's on my mind, these are the reasons. These are the whys, right? These are the whys. And what are they? My number one why for keto, for carnivore diet, for even just the paleo diet, when I first started the paleo diet, the number one why. And I'm not going to be bashful about it. I'm not going to be shy about it. If I have been shy about it in the past, I need to stop being shy. Call me out on it, please. But the number one reason is cancer. That's the number one reason. I started the paleo diet. I started following the paleo diet around 2012-ish. I want to say, yeah, probably 2012-ish. I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. Rob Wolf was on there. I heard about it. Maybe even before that, I got the book. Boom. Around that same time is when I found out I had thyroid cancer. 2013, just around January 2013, thyroid cancer, right? Had my thyroid out right away. I was like, this is it. I have to, even before the cancer itself, sorry, even before the surgery itself, I decided I needed to do something. As soon as I read that cancer feeds on sugar, as soon as I did that, it was before the surgery, I started lowering the sugar. I started thinking about that. I started drilling that in my mind. Many months and many even years before, I guess a year even before or two, before I really started to lower even the sugar, I started to think about it. I was reminded that as a child, we're taught sugar is bad for you, right? It's candy, it's bad for your teeth, it's going to rot your teeth out. But not only that, it's just bad for you. We knew that it made people gain weight. We knew it was linked to diabetes, but whatever, right? But that's when, 2012, 2013, that's when I realized, and that's when I learned, and that's when it's still been the same. It's 2020 and the science hasn't changed. Cancer still likes to feed on sugar, preferably sugar. So that's my number one why. If you want to unwrap or you want to unravel or kind of just unwrap the why of the cancer, my family's in there, right? My kids. I mean, if cancer wasn't deadly, if people didn't die of cancer, they don't give a shit, right? But there's another thing that we don't understand. We don't understand exactly why certain people die of cancer. We don't know all the intricacies. You don't hear about all the reasons why they died and all the different procedures and the different reasons. So yes, nobody wants cancer, right? That's the number one reason. That's the number one reason for me that keeps on getting me back. Here's a perfect example of why we still need the whys, why we need to get back on track. Here's a perfect example. You would think that it's a good enough reason to keep me off sugar forever. It's not difficult to understand that cancer likes sugar a lot. It's been proven many years ago, right? So then it's easy to understand that a lot of people would go to follow the idea that let's remove the sugar, right? Let's remove the sugar. That's a good enough reason alone, but it's not easy. It's not easy to do that. There are friends, there are family members, there are people you know that have cancer today, there are people you know that have passed away from cancer. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. There's people that you're going to know that are going to have cancer in the future, and it's heartbreaking, right? It doesn't mean that sugar is the answer. It doesn't mean that it's the only answer. It may be the answer. And by golly, I do believe that it's one of the answers. That's why I still believe in it, right? But it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that it's going to solve all my problems. It doesn't mean that I'm going to bang that drum of the no sugar. I'm going to bang the drum of don't eat your sugar. Don't eat your desserts. Don't eat your pies and all that stuff. Even if I still eat the pie tomorrow, am I being a hypocrite? I suppose I'm being a hypocrite, but am I being human? Yes. Am I still giving you a good message? And I'm still giving a good message to myself. That's probably the real effort is probably going towards reiterating myself and convincing myself, right? Not even convincing myself, but just reminding myself, because I don't need convincing anymore. I need help. I need support like everybody else does. So that's my number one. But that's proof that even though there's not much controversy whether sugar feeds on whether sugar feeds cancer or not, it's just not that easy. It's just not that easy, but it's still my why. It's still one of my whys. I'm going to keep on going back to you, right? There are other things that people do for cancer, and those are great things. Exercise, hyperbaric chambers, all kinds of different detoxification things you can do, some vitamins. I don't know what the answer is, right? But I know that I'm still alive, and I should maybe just be lucky anyway. Maybe the diet I'm eating has nothing to do with it. I don't know, but I'll tell you what. I started that ketogenic or the paleo-ish kind of diet, the keto-ish diet, 2012, 2013, I started reading into it, 2014, 2015. Like I said, late 2015, 2016 is when I really started the keto. It took me a couple years. It took me a couple years, folks, of really thinking about it, really thinking about getting rid of sugar. But you're probably thinking, well, how are you stupid, Carlo? How hard is it to understand that sugar's bad? Okay, it's not hard to understand sugar's bad. So when I was hearing that sugar was bad, from the keto community, right? Or from the paleo community. I understood that. But at the same time, I was hearing that you have to limit the amount of bacon you're eating from the rest of the world. Because the paleo community was starting to say, have some bacon, have bacon and eggs and whatever, just remove the toast. And some of the people in that space were saying, have a lot of bacon, have a lot of meat, whatever, do what you want. But it was difficult, right? Because remember, although we may have been told that sugar is bad, or we may have known that sugar has been bad, we've also been told that animal fat's bad. We're also told that just steak's bad, and roasts are bad, and chicken's bad, and turkey's bad, and all these sausages, and the salami, and the stuff that we've evolved to eat. Literally, we evolved eating this food. We evolved with this food. This food is man. It's part of our culture. It's part of everybody's culture. It's part of the human race, the human culture. Preserved, cured meats and cheeses and stuff like that. What am I trying to say? Fermented foods, right? That's part of our culture that got us here. Once I started to realize that, things started to change, started to lose the weight, right? Lose the weight. Within a year, I lost almost 100 pounds. With another year or so, I lost the rest, 120 pounds, right? Fluctuating, folks. I'm down 100 pounds now only. Oh, not 120 or 115 or whatever that is. It doesn't matter. The idea is that I know what makes me, well, I know what works. Okay. Cancer. Number one. The second reason goes right into the cancer is the weight loss. As I'm thinking about cancer, as I'm thinking of trying to not feed the cancer, the obvious next connection is that if you're not going to, the obvious next connection for me was, well, if I don't want to feed cancer, right? So I'm going to try and remove the sugar or lower the amount of sugar I eat. At the same time as doing that, I'm going to force my body to switch over to predominantly burning fat for fuel. And then at the same time, I thought, buddy, you have like a lot of fat. You have like a lot of energy here. I think I calculated something like 200,000 calories or something. I may be off, but when you have an extra 100 pounds of fat, right, you have the extra calories. So I started just doing that. Started eating meat, started eating more meat, started doing that, and it worked. It started to work slowly. It wasn't even that slow, folks. Within a couple months, it started to come off. Maintaining it, that's my reason, maintaining health. With that weight loss, with a lot of weight loss like that, especially if it's a big amount of weight loss, you're gonna get yourself from being obese to be maybe just overweight. Or even if you're not overweight anymore, you're gonna go to normal weight. When you get yourself to normal weight, and this isn't fat shaming, folks, this is fucking, excuse my language, but this is reality, right? You can shame something if it's factual, but you're not shaming a person. You're not shaming the person, the value, their soul. You're not doing that, right? But we don't want to be morbidly obese. There's a reason why it's called morbidly obese, right? There's a reason. It's not good for you, right? You can die. So if you can get to a healthy weight, right? And if you can do this by eating fat and letting your body burn its own calories, right? That's amazing. That's amazing because when you lower the amount of body fat, when you bring your body fat percentage to a healthy level, in the healthy range, right? You know the healthy range, you can go find it's different for men, different for a woman, different for age groups. But I'm talking about a healthy range. You don't have to be the guy, the gal, in the swimsuit models, in the magazines, online, the photo shoots. You don't have to do that. If you want to, great, right? But what you're looking for, if you're looking to maintain, right? If you're looking to feel healthy and live a long time, you want to just get your weight to a healthy weight, because it's been proven, folks, that being overweight, just like being underweight, has health complications. It makes everything a little bit worse. It really does. Just like your elevated blood sugar makes it harder for you to fight off infections, makes it harder for you to fight off viruses. It really does. This isn't controversial, folks. It's not shaming people that are diabetic to say that elevated blood sugar makes it hard to fight off infection. It's not shaming anybody. It's not shaming anybody. In fact, if I was a diabetic and I didn't know that, and then you told me, I would thank you. It would be difficult to hear that for the first time if I didn't know that, but I would thank you and thank you. So that's the second reason. My third why is really my mental health. And when I say mental health, it's, oh my God, Carl, you're crazy. It doesn't matter what you eat. Okay, maybe I'm crazy. When I say mental health, I really mean, I do mean mood, and I do mean things like depression and things like drive and motivation and general kind of happiness. I do mean that, because it does help. It does help that. It does help with that, I guess. But for me, my focus is not always that. My focus when I say mental health is the whole idea around habits and my relationship with food. That's one of my whys. And I just want to talk about it again. I've always talked about it over and over again for months and months. But this is one of those episodes where my why, right? The mental health. When I removed sugar and when I removed carbohydrates, especially the complex carbohydrates, but even the fruits and even the incidental sugars that I ate kind of throughout the day, as I remove them more and more, and the more I remove them through more time, the better handle I had, or the better feeling I had just around food in general. My relationship with food, I mean, right? So you may say, well, you probably always had a great relationship with food. You're Italian, you love to cook. Yeah, okay, no. My relationship with food was not always great, folks. Like I said in the previous episodes, it's not crazy. It's not out of the norm to be an emotional eater, or to go to food when you're emotionally charged, whether it's happy or sad or whatever. Okay. But you want to do that in an area, in a safe level where you can kind of come back, balance, not so much, you can come back. It's all about balance, right, folks? And I understand balance is super difficult, super, super difficult, but it's about achieving balance, and that's what we're trying to do. So mental health in that regard for me is always improved when my relationship with food is improved. Because, you know, I guess the flip side of that is if my relationship with food is not healthy, then there's an addiction, right? Some sort of an addiction. It's what's it called? It's like a, not an aversion. It's an addiction. Yeah. It's like a, I don't know, I guess an addiction to food where I would go. It's funny because you don't get addicted to steak. Fuck. Excuse my language again, folks, but you don't get addicted to steak. So is it a food addiction? It's a sugar addiction. It's a carb addiction. But anyway, my relationship with food is my relationship with sugar, really, right? And it's like that bad friend. It's that like that bad influencing friend for me. For not everybody, folks, but for me, it's that bad influencing friend that maybe a little bit of that friend is healthy. Maybe some perspective on life is healthy. The odd thing, maybe that's how I should take sugar. The odd bout of sugar, if I'm working really hard, or if I'm like, you know, have some honey or whatever, I'll try that, maybe carnivorous sugar. But really, that's kind of my idea of mental health. It keeps me kind of in my happy space as far as my relationship with food. And then the last reason I think of is kind of my why right now, at least that I can think of, is really to perform optimally, right? It's not the number one part of my, it's not my number one reason by any means. Folks, I'm 43. How old am I? I'm 42 years old. I'm 42 years old. And I feel like $1 million. I don't feel like $1 million today. A couple weeks ago, I felt like $1 million, maybe even a month ago before I eat all this candy from Halloween. Shit, you don't want to know how I screwed up, folks. Maybe you do want to know how I screwed up, but I had Halloween candy. And then after that, it dragged on, and it's a month later. Here we are, right? But I'm back on. I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to show you. I'll make you proud. I'll make all of you proud. But again, the fourth reason is, for me at least, is to perform optimal, right? I talked earlier about my goals, one of my physical goals, one of my personal kind of learning and just challenging goals is martial arts. I found it again at a later age, well, not late, I guess, but later on, or years later, I suppose. I did it when I was 6 or 7 years old, or even 8 years old. Did it for about a year. Then I took about a 30-year break, my brother and I. My brother kept on going back and forth, Sifu Adam, shout out Sifu. But again, you know, at 38 years old, I think is when I kind of joined up again. You know, it's been 4 years. And it really, it absolutely helps. It absolutely, I can't even say it helps. How do I say this? It controls my physical appearance. It controls my physical appearance more than exercise does. Mm-hmm. The food I eat controls my physical appearance, my physical proportions, my weight, right? My body composition. That's the word I'm trying to look for, folks. It controls my body composition. Hey, it controls my body composition more than anything else, more than working out. It does, because the food I eat controls what happens in my body, whether I'm inflamed, whether I'm bloated, right? And if you're inflamed, if you're unbloated, if you're bloated, what do you think your body's doing with that food? Do you think it's using it in the best way? Maybe not. What about the food that's causing you to be inflamed, causing you to be bloated? What is that food, right? You have to think about that. So maybe there's a kind of a downspin effect or a kind of downstream effect as well, not just your initial kind of reaction. Not only that, is what is it doing to your mental state, right? When you're kicked off your game, right? If you're kicked off your nutritional game, your diet game, your regimen in the kitchen, whatever. But if that affects your mental health and that affects your physical routine, if it does, right? If you're feeling depressed and you're feeling unmotivated, I guess I should answer that. But if you're feeling depressed and if you're feeling like crap mentally because your addiction, your food addiction is not great, are you also going to have the energy to go to the gym? You may actually. And I know people like that, right? I know people that cannot stay on a diet but can stay at the gym. You know, we're creatures of habits, folks. We're creatures of habits. We're very complex people. We can force ourselves to do some amazing, amazing things, right? And at the same time, we can force ourselves to do some amazing things on our diet that oftentimes we only kind of reserve these feats of strength or these human feats, feats of strength or willpower, feats of willpower. We almost always reserve that for the gym or for the competition or for the tournament, which is funny. So I think that oftentimes let's use that energy. I'm trying to, I guess, challenge people, use that energy, use the idea of I'm going to be strong. I'm going to have a willpower instead of going to the gym, not instead of going to the gym, but use the same energy to go to the gym 5 days a week to maintain a good diet 5 days a week. Maybe that works for you. Maybe not. Right. But it absolutely, absolutely is to be credited for this physique you see. Honestly, you know, if you lose 100 pounds, if you lose 120 pounds, if you lose 50 pounds and you do it and you know why you did it or you know how you did it, there's no question, folks. You cannot bench press and squat or just, let's go even simple. You can't walk and push up and squat and crunch 100 pounds off, 120 pounds off if you're eating like shit. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If I ate like I did and did no exercise, would I have gotten that weight off? Maybe not. Maybe not all of it. But I know I lost a lot of weight many times when I was doing nothing. Many times when all I was doing was walking a half an hour a day or an hour a day. And that may be a lot for some people, right? But it's not that much. And you can do it. I think you can do it. A half an hour a day around your block, an hour a day. There's 24 hours in a day. And if you're working long hours and you're walking a lot and you're working, you're busting your butt, you're getting your exercise. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people who, and I'm saying if you're saying that you're strapped for time and you don't have a half an hour to walk or an hour to walk because you are busy working and you are busy running around physically, I get it. You probably don't need a half hour walking. It may do you some good mentally to get out and unplug and recharge and listen to some music or a podcast, my podcast maybe, or something like that. But I get it. But the people who do have the time, right? And you do have, if you do have the time, and you do have, if you have the accessibility, the ability to get out and walk around 15, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, 1 hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever you can do, folks, work your way up. It's amazing. There are people on this earth, few people, but there are people on this earth that can run for 24 hours straight. Me and you can walk for 15 minutes. Me and you can walk for half an hour, right? That's the best way. Do that and tap into that diet, tune up that diet, tweak that diet to remove the shit that you don't want. You don't want to fuel yourself with sugar all day. You want to fuel yourself with fat and protein. Fat is your fuel. Protein is used to build your muscles, to build your body, rebuild your body, detoxify your body, fuel your immune system, and protect you, right? Same as the fat vitamins, the fat soluble vitamins. You don't need glucose. You don't need sugar. And if you do need glucose, a little bit, right? Your body can produce it. Remember, gluconeogenesis comes from your liver. So that's how you do it. Those are my whys, folks. Cancer, always going to be my why. Always going to be my, whether I have cancer or whether I'm not. If they found out tomorrow that the cancer shrank, it's gone, magically poof, I'm still going to maintain this diet. You think I'm going to go on a high-carb diet, eating French fries every single day and Cokes? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep this up. Number two, my maintenance, losing that weight, keeping it off. This has been the easiest way to maintain weight loss. It's the only way that I can maintain weight loss. Maybe I could do it. You know what? That's challenging. That's interesting. I'm not going to do it, but maybe I could switch now to a high carb diet. Maybe I can do it. Maybe now, because I don't have 100 pounds to lose, I still have weight to lose, of course. And this makes me think that, this makes me understand, I think, how for many, many years I've been hearing from people who weren't overweight, hey, I eat a moderately high carb diet. I don't cut my carbs. I can lose weight. I can just moderate. I just don't eat too much. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But if you have a lot of weight to lose, it's not that simple. But still, even if I could do that right now, I'm not going to do it. I don't like what I've read. I don't like what I've read and seen and even felt from burning sugar. I don't like the way I feel when I'm a sugar burner. All right. So getting back on track, folks. Let's get getting better at getting back again. And like I always say, don't plan cheat meals. Don't plan those desserts. Don't make the desserts. But if you're going to have it, if you're going to have a dessert, have the dessert, right? Have the dessert and get back on track. Get better. That's just it. Folks, thank you so much for listening to Fat Soul Radio, for watching Fat Soul Radio. Don't forget to check out our sponsor, Volpe Martial Arts, volpemartialarts.com. KW, Kitchener-Waterloo, Guelph, Cambridge, it's the hottest news. It's been over a year now, folks. Over a year, we've had our anniversary. It's amazing. Even through COVID, we're still staying strong. We're still staying strong, having our classes. We're even growing even still through COVID. So thank you for checking out. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for watching. Thank you for your shares, your likes, your subscriptions. Subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to YouTube and hit the notification. I'm not sure how you can, why would you want to subscribe and not be notified? I guess, whatever. So it's on your list, whatever. Subscribe, be notified. I come to you once a week, folks. Salute. It's my pleasure. Here's the mark. Salute. It's my pleasure. I love each and every one of you. Thank you again. Again, email me, fatsoradio@gmail.com. You want to be on the podcast? You want to be on the show? I want you to be on. I love you all. Fatso Radio. Bye. Let's say thanks for listening. Bye, guys. Let's say bye to everybody. Bye. And we'll say thanks for listening. Say thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Fatso Radio, the really great podcast show.
Fatso Radio, the really great podcast show.
So get your butt and get in your chair.
Don't eat your nails and don't pull your hair.
We'll talk about chicken or talk about steak.
We'll talk about fat for goodness sake.
Fatso, the really great podcast show.
Fatso, our very first podcast show.